Good morning. This will be a pretty short one, but I hope it'll be helpful. I'm going to ask a lot of questions, and hopefully, by the end of a few minutes, we'll get to a few statements that'll be helpful. So if you follow me where we'll go, we'll get somewhere. Imagine you wake up one morning. You're cold, and you're wet, and you're hungry. As you lie there, something nudges you in the side. You open your eyes and see a hairy, muddy snout 3 inches from your face. It's a pig you fought with yesterday for food. The pig won. Right then, you think back to your father's house. Where even the servants had more than enough to eat. Why'd you leave? It was boring. It was restrictive. Didn't get along with your brother. You thought you could do better on your own. Doing what you wanted to do when you wanted to do it. But now we realize that our short-sightedness got us where we don't really want to be. Climb over the fence with a pigsty, and you limp back home. On the way home, you're trying to think of what you can say. You realize that you don't really deserve to be a son. You deserve to be not much even a servant. And then when you get to the road to your father's house, you see him coming after you. And you try to explain, you say, I sinned against heaven and against you. I don't deserve to be your son. Please make me a servant. And he won't even let you finish. He brings you in, he gives you a ring, a robe, sandals, and he restores you to where you were before. And so now you are where you need to be. Things are better. Things are still the same as before. You're the same place as you left. Every once in a while you don't really get along with your brother, but you're back where you need to be. And so now, think about this. 5 years pass. Are you still there? What happens to the prodigal son later in life? If we still imagine ourselves there, every once in a while, you're reminded of what happened before. You're reminded every day because the things you're working on aren't yours. They're your brother's. You took your inheritance and you left it somewhere else. But still, you are where you need to be. You're warm, you have food, you're in your father's house. You've been delivered. And then, if we extend it some more, sometime later, you go live somewhere else. Still in your father's house, of course, you wouldn't make the mistake to leave that again. But some distant cousins. Now, they don't know the details of your past. They weren't there when you left. They weren't there when you came back. They didn't hear what your brother said when you got back. They don't know, because your father didn't spread the details around. But then, how do you live? Who are you? Are you still the same person as you were before? There's nobody forcing you to remember. But then there's a young man in your new home who says, hey, my band is touring in Gomorrah sometime later this week. It's going to be fun. And how do you act? What do you say? No one really knows where you came from. Do you bring it up? Do you say, hey, buddy, you know, that's probably not a good idea. I ended up in a pigsty. Or do you kind of leave it, let it go? Because he'll figure it out, right? God helps you. You were able to get back. Maybe he can get back too. Or do you bite the bullet and say, hey, everybody, you know, I've been there, and it's not good. That's what we read in Psalm 32 today. David was in the pigsty. But he got out. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. And so the point of imagining ourselves as the prodigal son or the prodigal daughter, the point of seeing where we might be later down the road, is to demonstrate that living in grace is often more complicated than getting to grace. It's not necessarily easier or harder, per se, but it's just a bit less clear than waking up at rock bottom and knowing you have to get going. Living a redeemed life is trickier than repenting, because we're left asking, what do I do now? We left the pigsty, and now we're back home, but what do we do? A lot of times as Christians, as humans, we can get used to repenting. We have examples of that in the Bible all the time. We have the sin, the suffering, the supplication, and the salvation, the cycle that's in the Judges. Things go well for a while and people forget. We forget. I forget. But what is it that we're supposed to be doing? It's a question that I often ask. Maybe you ask it as well. Should we be filling seats at a seminar? Is it better than that to build houses for the poor? Is it better than that to do something else? If there were a box I could fill, if there were a box we could fill, maybe it would be easier. It would definitely be simpler. If God came to me and asked me to get a 40-inch vertical, I'd know what to do, right? And give me some time, I could dunk a basketball, and I could win. If our job was to bake 1,000,000 cookies in a year, it would take a while, but we make some good ones. It would be called Famous Amos at the end of it, right? Often, we've left the pigsty, and we're back at home, and we're looking for the holy grail of life in the Lord. We're looking for something we can do to make things okay. But the problem here is that these things are all external. We turn to Matthew chapter 7. We'll find an explanation for something that I had trouble understanding for quite some time. This is the end of Christ's Sermon on the Mount. And starting at verse 15, he says, Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. And he continues on, he says, Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I submit to you that we should focus on being something rather than doing something. Repentance is a process of getting rid of some of the things in your life that hold you down. And after that, you have to keep going. But if you keep going trying to do rather than be like God, then you end up with a half-baked sort of service. How many times have you tried to do something, but whatever it was in the back of your head kind of bogged you down? But don't be fooled. I mean, faith without works is dead, right? If we focus on being rather than doing, we can just sit there and be good and have nothing come of it. But we can't keep looking for the Holy Grail. Let's get at the prodigal son that's inside of us and see what God places in our path to do. Whatever it is, we'll see it through new eyes. We'll see it through godly eyes. And then we'll know that God can work mightily through us. And so with a little bit of disillusionment, you might say, there is no Holy Grail to find. There is no one thing that you should be doing that you will win at in service. But it strikes me that the Holy Grail has already been found. If we try to define our service by what we're supposed to be doing, then we can fail. If we try to define our lives and service to God as something that's got to happen or something we have to win, then someone might beat us to it first. If we're looking for the Holy Grail, you know, what if the Nazis get there first and Sean Connery's not there to help you? But brothers and sisters, our Holy Grail has already been found, and we see it every week. So why would we look for something else? Our Holy Grail is sitting right in front of us. Ours happens to be in little individual cups. Right? But these are the things that we can do. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. So many other times he says, love your brethren. Blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit. These are the characteristics. But this is one thing he says to do. And what he says to do is to get together as often as you meet and remember me. So as we get together today, let's remember what it is that God has provided for us. Let's remember what Jesus did. And let that sit. And let that spur you on to do what it is that God has put in your path this week, this afternoon. We can end in Psalm 116. So many times when we have questions, we found that people have asked them before. David had asked a lot of them. Starting at verse 6 of Psalm 116. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Brothers and sisters, this is what we have. We have about 0.2% of our week, a 20-minute span in which we get together and actually look to remember. So what is it this week that is going to change us? Is it going to be something we can win at or something that a man did 2,000 years ago to show us that he's already won? And he wants us there with him.